And we are live. Welcome, BBS Radio, to the ongoing call. This is a show called Adventures into Sovereignty today. Normally, it's Adventures into Reality with your host, Andrew Bartz. But today, I am joined by an incredible roundtable. I'm joined by Rod Klass, Rebecca Cope, and Jennifer. We are here talking sovereignty. We are talking law. We are talking the corporate fiction as well as many other subjects. This is an ongoing conversation, and for those that are coming from Google Plus or those that are wanting to find out, this whole broadcast will be made available right as soon as the call is done. Rod and Rebecca and Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, Andrew. Yes, it's been a very interesting time here. We're just so thrilled to be able to share, because we're really bringing a lot of clarity to what we're dealing with as far as our courts, and what we're dealing with is we're setting up some ways that we, the people, want to have opportunities to hold the corporations posing as governments accountable to the rule of law. So we welcome everybody. It's our own sovereign power that we're dealing with here as we learn to operate from an understanding of the power that is available within our own sovereign being and within our efforts as we join together. So welcome to this show. Thank you, Andrew.
And thank you. Rod and Jennifer Williams, welcome to the show also.
Thank you.
So as everyone knows, we've been going on for nearly 3 hours here, and we've covered a lot of subjects. So for the new audience that's in here, what we've been talking about is literally this corporate fiction that we're living in. We're coming to the culmination point here of some of the subjects that we brought out. We are at a point where we as individuals can now take action against the government, as well as the using the rules and statutes against them. That is what Rod is well known for, by explaining to the people and in a language of the law what is being done to them. So Rod, I'd like you to bring you in here, and let's sum up what we've kind of talked about with it is coming, the Foreign Powers Act, treating us as prisoners of war, and how they're using against this in the bigger picture.
Okay, if you don't mind, can I first make our announcement of our judicial reform that we're going to have here on July 25th, 26th, and 27th down here in North Carolina. What we have, we're going to be at a campsite. It's called Cross Country Campground. It's at Denver, North Carolina. It's out on 150. The phone number that in order to get your site reserved is 1-800-852-4840. What this is, it's going to be Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Carl Weston, my brother, and myself, we're going to be educating you on foreclosures. Dwight's going to be getting into the SF-95s, where we're going to be talking about how to do accountability on the system. I'm going to be getting in what we've been talking about on the show here tonight, about the Trading with the Enemy Act, the corporation side of how they brought it in, what we're dealing with in these courts with the Trading with the Enemy Act under the State of Emergency of 1933, or the Ambulatory Act under Executive Order 6111. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a bigger picture that we're dealing with than a lot of you want to understand or know at this point, because a lot of the information that you've been given, it's not wrong information. And it wasn't wrong. It's just that they didn't have all the facts. They didn't have the knowledge that we're sitting on now. And what I mean by that, it goes back to the fact that whenever they created musket loaders, they didn't have the knowledge to make repeaters when they created the musket loaders. The knowledge only was so far. As time advanced, they learned to modify their musket loaders to single shots, and then it went into repeating rifles, and then it went into automatics. And this is what we're dealing with the Patriot stuff. There was so much stuff out here. It wasn't wrong. They had a lot of good information, but we're now backing it. We're supporting it. We're pulling congressional documents. And this is what we're going to get into on July 25th, 26th, 27th, which is going to be here in 2 weeks, roughly, on a weekend. Because once we start showing you the congressional document, it's no longer theory, it's no longer concept, it's actual fact. And once you start reading it for yourself and you start understanding it, you're going to get a clearer picture of what we're dealing with, and whether you're dealing with a traffic violation, whether you're dealing with child support, whether you're dealing with a foreclosure, whether you're dealing with a criminal case, it all comes under the one heading of Trading with the Enemy Act, of how they're dragging us into these courts. And once you comprehend this, once you understand this, a lot of this other stuff's got to go off to the wayside, because I realize a lot of you want to come in, you want to be honorable, you want to come in with honor, you want to show courtesy, you want to show respect. The problem what we're dealing with here, and we all know, if we come through the front door of that courthouse, we come through the front door in that courtroom, we're going to get railroaded, because that's how it's set up. What makes you think if you try to come through the back door, or you try to come through a side door and you're still dealing with that same judge, what makes you think for 1 minute that he is going to be honorable when he wasn't honorable coming through the front door? That's where the problem we're running into. We have been taught if we will come privately into him, there is a certain amount of honor within it. The thing is, we're not dealing with a government. We're dealing with a corporation, an international corporation that overthrew our government. And the people that's sitting on that bench is under that private corporation in order to make money. So the fact, if we win by coming through the back door, it's on the fact of they allowed it, not because our paperwork was something that was spectacular that made them, oh my God, I better sit down and come in compliance. They don't have to come in compliance when we're being treated as enemies of the state. That's the biggest thing that we've got to realize. You're an enemy. You're a prisoner. And they don't have to treat you with any respect. They don't have to come in with compliance with contracts and rules and regulations, because this is not our government. This is a corporation that has infiltrated our system and infiltrated our public offices. This is what we got to understand. We have been infiltrated.
At every level.
Go ahead.
At every level, we've been infiltrated.
Yes.
This fraud goes all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom. And this is one of the reasons we are featuring here on BBS, as well as Google Plus and at the AIB Network and TalkShoe, why we're bringing everyone together from the OPP side, the New Earth Nation side, the Galactic Historian side, because we all need to know this information so as sovereign individual beings we can make informed choices about the truth of what is going on. And what Rod and Rebecca and Jennifer are bringing here is a layer of truth that's written in our own laws, in their own experiences. And, you know, I'm well known for some of the psychic information and the galactic history, but I'm here in the present as a sovereign being myself, who also understands if I don't pay attention to what's going on in the law, and I don't pay attention to the ways they're trying to trick my brothers and sisters, I am just as much as at fault as those people are staying in ignorance, or blissfully ignorant states of being, because they'd rather believe the stage actors, they'd rather believe the actors behind the judges' robes, and say, yes, that is the belief system I go for. I am one of those people that says, belief system, belief system, belief system. Those corporate people inside those judges' offices, they know they don't have a real bond. They know they have no real oaths. They all know this. The lawyers know what they're doing. and they are earning money off of us. They are putting us into corporate prisons with corporate rules, and these people are making money at slave labor. They are now employed as telemarketers. It's gone that far. Those are called work camps. Okay? Is that a far leap to call that a work camp? No, it's not. Because it's just the vision of the corporate system in which it can cannibalize its people at all levels of existence until we say no with knowledge and wisdom, until we've done enough actions, whether it's through paperwork or through protest, whether it's through drum and song or spirit and prayer. It comes down to the energies being expressed in a common movement with common people speaking the common language of truth and justness. So I'd like to bring in Rebecca here as part of the New Earth representative. We are going to be putting together International Tribunal on Natural Justice, and Rod is going to be a part of this. And let's talk the International Tribunal of Natural Justice. Sorry.
Yes, okay. Well, you can see as you get a chance to understand and Rod a whole lot more creative witnesses simply because he's put it through the courts, he's put it through his own personal experience, which is the best way to learn this stuff. And then as he's learned it, he's come back to all of us. He's been through the fire. And so what we're doing is we find these people who are willing to come forward and bring solid evidence, black ink on white paper, begin to have this evidence trail that holds us, our governments, accountable, so that we're looking at several different avenues to be able to do this. One is setting up the International Tribunal for Natural Justice so that we can begin to hold these people accountable. We're also doing things like this SF-95 that Rod just referred to, so that as we hold the individual agents accountable to the rule of law, but we have to know how they're breaking those laws first. I want to mention that one of the most important things that New Earth Nation is doing is to bring in the peace treaty. For the first time in history, we the people get to call into the endless war that has been perpetrated on us by these corporations posing as governments. One of the most fascinating things, as Rod has been really bringing a lot of this evidence, a lot more of the pieces recent, even in recent months as we've started this heavy duty work toward the investigation, we have pieces of the puzzle kind of coming into our laps here. And what we have understood completely is the War Powers Act of 1917 has never been lifted. These corporations posing as governments absolutely declared perpetual war on the peoples of the world. And so they're self-chosen rulers. Any way you go about it, they're self-chosen rulers. They have pulled us into their nightmare, and we have to realize that we have given them our permission to do this, whether by our silence, whether by we've just gone along with it, or whether we have not asked enough questions. So we're all about asking questions, and then we're also about signing this beautiful New Earth Nation treaty that another tiers have put together so that we have a foundation. And that foundation is what gives us the opportunity to seat the International Tribunal to begin to hold these corporations posing as governments and these agents of the rule of law to start holding them accountable. And so here we are tonight. We've got people from everywhere joining in as we're beginning to come together as the people. And that's really the most exciting thing that is here for me to watch unfolding as we're all coming together with a common problem to look at how we each can be responsible for it. So that's part of it to me, as we're working within New Earth Nation and the peace treaty that we're all invited to sign as the people, that we have the opportunity to seat this international tribunal to begin to hold these officials accountable.
Well, see, one of the things that we're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, is this. These judges, lawyers, public officials, just because we're going to have an international tribunal, we can get it together. They're going to have a surprise coming here because, see, under Title 10, which is the Military Code of Justice, Section 333, when these people get tried, they're going to be tried under the laws of this country. They're not going to be tried under international laws. They're going to be tried first under the laws of this country. This is why understanding their rules, their regulations, their job description, when it comes time for a tribunal, we're going to be able to walk in and be able to charge them under their own rules and regulations under that public office, not under the corporation, not under their fictional side, but under that public office that they took and they used to obtain federal funding under and swindle from. And this is where the significance comes in, because like Becky and I have sat here and talked, when you're bringing in a judge, you're bringing in a lawyer, or you're bringing in an attorney, or you're bringing in law enforcement, there is no such thing as them having an attorney to represent them when they're already trained in the law to start with, and they need to answer to the tribunal. And this is something that Becky and I sit here and talked about, is that we don't need a grand jury at this point. What we need is an administrative hearing of a tribunal, where they come before the tribunal and they justify their actions sitting on that bench, or they justify their actions misrepresenting the client or prosecuting a defendant when there was no plaintiff in that courtroom, or the fact that the police officer sit here and stopped you without a verified complaint on an affidavit and with a warrant to search. It isn't the fact, well, we need to have a lawyer. No, sir, you're not entitled to a lawyer. You committed a crime. You now justify it, because if you get a lawyer, your lawyer's going to be charged with you. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're looking at if we can get the tribunal to look at it from this point, because what this is, the first section, is an administrative review of their action. They don't need a mouthpiece to sit down and explain their job, what they did or did not do. If they are turned around and found guilty, now this is where a grand jury would come in. The evidence would be put before a grand jury. Now they would be tried for war crimes and they would be tried for treason. But first is the administrative side to get them out of office, to take them off the bench or take them off the street. That's the first intent of trying to do this to a tribunal.
Can this also be done through an inherent court of equity?
If we can find one that can do the enforcement on this.
What would be that requirement? I know there's a lot of Native American communities that still use inherent courts of equity, actually all throughout Canada too.
The thing of it is, these court of equities that you're walking into, who is sitting on those benches?
Well, that's where the next part is. Those courts can be spawned. It's part of the common law right to create courts of equity when there is a corrupt government, correct?
Correct.
There's a corrupt, yeah.
This is where right now, until... And if we can get an international, because right now this is really an international incident.
Correct. It's a global. It's a global fraud.
Yes. Well,
take it all the way up to that perspective. It's a global fraud.
But if we can come back and you first have to go after a civil action here.
At the maxims of equity, you're coming with clean hands as an individual, not as a group, to do what? To get an injunctive order to stop them from violating your rights. All you really need is a place to put your whole story out without them denying you the ability to tell your story.
Well, this is the purpose of the administrative side. on this. Well, we walk in out on private, on us walk in, and we bring the claim and let that judge or let that prosecutor or let that police officer justify his action while we lay down their job description of what they broke administratively.
Right.
Get them taken off the bench, take them off the street, and then if there is enough evidence here to take them off the street, now this is where the criminal side comes in. This is where the grand jury side comes in. This is where if we can get the international court or if we set up a court, and at this point, once we show corruption on this side and we show where they have sold us internationally, this is now comes into where an international, another Nuremberg trial needs to be set up on these people.
Right. A global fraud. Yeah.
But we need to first show them on a civil side of administrative violations, which created the fraud on the international side.
Going with the treaty for the subdivision list.
So once we started on that side, it's only going to take about two hearings. And the rest of these people are going to start scrambling because once they learn that there's an indictment going on, the rest of these judges and police officers, they're going to be one either resign, get out of the country, or they're going to do mass suicide. And you know what?
I think a lot of them are going to turn to these tribunals and start telling the truth, honestly, and hope that we don't go to a point of humiliation at how deep this fraud goes and begin offering a place where people can go, we have compassion and forgiveness for you, it's time to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and help us see how this fraud goes at the angles we haven't seen yet. Ultimately, that's what we've the greatest success out of these tribunals. You get dozens of witness blowers that sit down and say, this is what I did as an agent of this. This is what I did as this. This is what I, these are the books that I wrote, and this is how I train people how to keep this fiction going. They're out there, and they're listening to us right now. And they are one step away of beginning the process of saying, you know what, I don't want to see my brothers and sisters in slavery anymore.
Well, the thing of it is, these judges, they knew what they did when they did it, and they made buku money off of us.
Yep, their retirement accounts. Oh, yeah, we go deep into what their retirement accounts do for every person that they smack the gavel on.
Yeah, and so if one of the things is that they have to forfeit everything. Mm-hmm. Everything gets forfeited, including their own personal account to pay back everybody that they've embezzled off of.
Yep.
But the thing of it is, you know, forgiveness has a problem here when they put people on death row and people died because of them.
You are absolutely right. And there is a layer for people like say, the post office or the people at particular police officers who want to come forth as whistleblowers. There has to be something that says to those people that we're not going to put everyone in jail, but a whole bunch of you are going to have to really seriously think about what's coming for you.
Well, yeah, and I understand that. There has to be a certain amount of compassion here, but it needs to go on individual basis of their record.
Exactly. Individual basis of the record and the quality of work that they're bringing out.
Yeah, but the first thing we need to do is the administrative side to get the investigation going. And that's the
correct.
The tribunal for the administrative side to take them down to have them investigated.
But at the same time, a private court can begin taking all of the whistleblower testimony.
Yeah. If they're willing to come forward and be the whistleblowers on this, yes, it can be.
I know that there are dozens out there that are one word away from saying, I'm ready to do it, and a million words away from even beginning to contemplate it.
Well, the thing of it is, just like Becky and I have sat here and talked, one of the biggest things that need to be done on this is through the different movements in this country, through RAP, through the grand juries, through the county assemblies, being associated with these different groups throughout the last several years, the problem we've had here is if each of these groups said we had military backing, we had this backing, we had that backing, and if we would just do this, these people would come in. And it's like I was telling Becky with this, it is no longer if the people will go do. We need the enforcement. We need the judges sitting on the bench sitting here saying, okay, the court is open. Do you have the grand jury? Do you have the private attorney generals? Do you have the people that can prosecute? We're sitting on the ability to prosecute. We're sitting on the grand juries. We need a court to walk these people into and start the process. Don't get the people set up. We need the enforcement. The people are already here.
Right. There are private attorney generals out there. There's been quite a few people have figured out that process. So it's out there. All the tools are there, all the pieces parts. Now we got to bring the web together so we all share a common toolbox.
Yeah, because, see, I, myself and my brother and a few of us, we hold position. I actually went through Congress. I hold the position as a private attorney general and a bounty hunter, constitutional bounty hunter. I actually went through Congress. I hold this position. As the bounty hunter side, all I need is international authority to start handcuffing and start dragging them in on my side of the fence.
International authority.
Yeah, I need the backing on this to start handcuffing and start dragging these people down to be able to walk into a courtroom, catch a judge on a bench, handcuff him, or tell the sheriff, either you handcuff him or I'm going to, and if I do, I'm handcuffing you to go with him.
As the bounty hunter and attorney and attorney general, you
yes,
can do that. So my question is, what do you need as the bounty hunter attorney general to accept standing from a court?
I need enforcement. I need to where I can walk in and not be shot.
Okay, literally. Because that is a fact. There are people that have broken arms and broken legs if they don't play ball, because there are some really corrupt courts out there.
My community knows my position. They know I could bring them into an administrative court. They know I could sue them administratively. So they have backed off on me, other than the State Highway Patrol, and he has now learned by me bringing him into the administrative court that the Attorney General threw him to the wolves by saying he's not an employee or an agency of North Carolina, so they just hung him.
Literally hung him.
They hung him. I can go after him and sue him in his private capacity and clean him.
Or you can offer him to come forward to the Tribunal of Justice and start telling the truth. That's something else as Attorney General you can begin to see as a perspective. And all those other people out there that we can begin saying, hey, who can we target? We have an Attorney General here. We have a court coming. We have this administrative. Let's start putting the plan together.
Because if I had the backing on the bounty hunter side where I could walk in and handcuff without worrying about being shot on this whole thing. See, that's the problem here. We have the ability to come in and do. We just don't have the enforcement to cover our back. And if I had the enforcement, I could walk in and do this in any court case across this country. They know it. That's what's got DC worried about me.
Does that include military tribunal courts?
Yes. If we could run them under that, that would be the perfect thing, because they're in violation of the Lieber Code.
There you go.
Order 100. They violated the War Powers Act on this.
Any four-star general can come up to a private independent prosecutor, private independent attorney general like you, and go, all right, here you go. Here's your protection.
That's
the military feeding it back to the sovereign.
Yes. That's what I need. I need provost marshals. I need the military. If they would back me.
Coast Guard's under the Highway Safety Act. That's what we need.
Well, my brother was sitting there saying the Coast Guard is under the Highway Safety Act. They're part of Homeland Security.
Right.
But the military actually is in charge, because if you stop and think, prior to the Continental Congress, it was our Continental Army and Navy that ran this country.
Right.
Before we got into the political side of this thing.
Right.
So again,
before the French came in.
Yeah. So if
the XYZ documents. Yep.
So if we would have the military, the Army, or the Navy, back what we're doing and give me the backing on this, it will only take walking into a couple courts, especially walking into D.C., and I could nail Judge Roberts, Judge Kessler, and Wilkins, and that judge over in the Superior Court with military backing, and pull them off the bench grab my three prosecutors, because I've had four federal judges, three prosecutors, and three public defenders. If I had military backing, I could walk in and snag all of them and bring them up for a tribunal and let them explain why they don't believe the Constitution works in their courtroom and why they don't believe in the rule of law. Let them explain it.
And one of the things I would like to add in here, because we have a lot of listeners who won't be as familiar with this, what we have spent the last 3 hours talking about is how we, in these various court cases that we're talking about, have absolutely exposed that the rule of law is no longer operational in our courtrooms today. We are dealing with judges and prosecutors and public defenders who are selling the American people out as war criminals. Plain and simple, we're dealing with the War Powers Act and crimes against the state. And so we're dealing with a lot of real solid evidence that we have of the corruption that we are having to deal with. And as Rod's talking about, this is a case that should have been canceled, should have been dismissed a year ago. They have drug him in, and the expense that he's had to go through going back to court and from all the way from North Carolina to D.C., you know, just almost every month for the last year. And as a result of that, then he has built an absolutely solid, solid case of the violations of the people who have not paid attention to the due process violations of the Constitution, who don't follow their own statutes and codes. So we're not talking about something that is just little things that we're dealing with. We're talking about real solid evidence that we're having to face, that our courts are not being honorable, that we are not dealing with a situation that we can handle without taking much more stringent steps. And so that's really where we are here. We're really looking at this. We are looking at it with eyes wide open. And we're simply saying, what can we the people do? We want to declare peace. We've had enough of this war. We've had enough of having to deal with this. We've got to deal with our own issues within our own sovereign beings. And there comes a time when, as that sovereign being, you just simply have to say no. Enough is enough. Now what am I going to do to be able and willing to take a role and be responsible so that my permission doesn't continue to be for these people to declare perpetual war on the world? So we're talking about this from a very, very strong foundation that we have developed over a number of different areas with a number of different people. And Rod is just one of the key witnesses here, because he has done probably one of the best jobs that I've ever seen of being able to absolutely hold these people accountable by exposing the problems that he's run into just in these various court cases. And of course, Rod is one of the first ones who absolutely exposed the idea that these public officials are not. They're corporations posing as our government. And I'm sure a lot of these listeners are pretty familiar with all of that. But if you're not, then as you can go back and listen to some of these broadcasts or get more knowledgeable about what we're doing, if you have any questions that we're not dealing with the corporations posing as government who have imposed themselves into our government, well, that's what this investigation is about. It's being able to bring that out in such a way that people are going to have to say, oh, my God, and not be able to run away from it anymore. We just simply have to follow the evidence trail and realize that, you know, this is where we are in the world, in the United States of America, you know, in all of the countries we're dealing with this. And so what are we each one going to be able to do? How are we going to help our children and our grandchildren going forward? So that's kind of what we're doing here as far as really looking at the evidence and everything that we're pulling together to start holding everybody accountable for the lack of following the rule of law.
Well, this is it. Now, this is what we really have come back in and hammered on. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing that I have learned, and Dwight and I both have done this. We do not know how to defend ourselves in a courtroom. We don't know the first thing on defending ourselves. Because in order to defend yourself, you have to go in and make excuses for their corruption to justify railroading you. All right? I'm not capable of coming in and justifying, well, Your Honor, I'm sorry I was doing 35 and a 25, and I want to apologize here. The fact that you don't have an oath of office, the fact that you don't have a bond, the fact that you don't hold public office, the fact that you're failing to disclose that you're operating under the Trading with the Enemy Act, the fact that you fail to disclose that you're operating under the International Organization Immunities Act, you don't hold public office here, it has nothing to do that I did 35 out of 25. You have to hold proper office before you talk to me. So I'm not in here to make excuses. I'm in here to point out that you don't have jurisdiction. You have to do your job right first before you can talk to me. You can't commit a felony against my misdemeanor. You can't create an act of treason while you're trying to charge me when you don't have a plaintiff and didn't file a proper complaint, didn't have an oath, didn't have a warrant signed by the judge, and you're dragging me off the street. Let's talk about your errors before you even address me. So this is what I'm sitting here saying. I have never learned how to make excuses and to defend myself when it's so much easier to point out their corruption. And this is how I've always operated. If you go back and check any of my paperwork out, all my paperwork exposes their corruption. The original document that I did in 2008, the Corn Novus paperwork, was a 4-page document. And I laid it out, and a student that was listening to AIB radio on TalkShoe took the paperwork and took it to his college professor. I got a phone call because this college professor says, where did you get this? He said, well, I got off this guy in North Carolina. So they called me. We talked for about 2 hours. This college professor proceeded to explain to me and ask me about that Corn Novus paperwork. And I started laying out the entire fraud because under Civil Rules Procedure Rule 4, under Foreign Sovereign Immunity, if we want to sue the political subdivision, you want to sue the police officer, you want to sue the mayor, you want to sue the government, you have to sue them under Foreign Sovereign Immunity. And that's how they come under Rule 4. You got to go through the Department of State in order to sue them. You got to get their permission to sue them. Well, wait a minute. Let's do reverse psychology here a minute. If I have to go through all this to sue them, then reverse psychology says they got to go through all this to drag my butt into court, and they're not doing it. Well, we laid out the expatriation side that we did not expatriate, and we brought in the Foreign Sovereign Immunity side that they had to go through the Department of State. But then we sit here and explained that they gave up their national citizenship when they took their oath of office. This college professor says, my God, Mr. Glass, he says, you realize what you've done? I says, yeah. He says, do you understand what you've done? I says, yes. He says, you've exposed the entire fraud of the court system, that they don't have the authority to drag us into the courtroom because they're operating under foreign state. I says, well, yeah. I also found a cure for this. He says, what's that? So I proceeded to explain the federal funding fraud under the Highway Safety Act, and the federal funding says, my God, says, you're now exposing the federal funding fraud on these people. I said, well, yes, it isn't this hard to prove their corruption. He says, you realize you did this in a 4-page document. I says, yes, sir. He says, the problem is one page is your court heading and one page is your proof of service. That gives you 3 pages. I says, yes. He says, 2 pages is definitions of words of a foreign state. I says, yeah. He He said, you did this in one single page. You exposed the entire corruption in one page document. I said, what's your point? He says, most people take 100 pages to lay out what you laid out in one. I said, well, I don't have to waste paper. That's just a short version of what we're saying. He says, you're absolutely right. He says, you've laid out the entire corruption. He says, 99% of the people have to be let out of jail, and 100% of the cases have to be dismissed. It's in court right now because you proved absolute corruption on their side of the fence. And that was a four-page document that I did in 2008.
And where has it gone since 2008?
Well, it's still going out. It's still being used. Some people, they do honor it. We've got people out of jail with it. But again, it goes back into the judge. If the judge wants to allow it, they do. If they don't, they won't.
If they want to be a hard ass or not.
Yeah.
Or a good person or not.
Yep. And but I've gotten kids back with it. We've gotten homes back with it. We've gotten people out of jail with it. You know, it's like anything else. If the judge wants to be honorable, it works. If he doesn't, then it don't. It's like anything else. And that's what really got me thinking hard about what we're dealing with. Because I've watched all these different patriot groups come up with all this information. UCC, the private side. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. Majority of the time, it don't work. Why don't it? Well, the more I got thinking about it, I started going back in and looking at, okay, what is the common denominator here? And the common denominator is most of this stuff don't work. Why don't it work? Because we got the rule of law, we got the Constitution, we got the federal statutes, we're under commerce, we're under maritime, we're under, you know, admiralty. Why don't it work? Then it finally dawned on me about the Trading with the Enemy Act through some research and some information that we got. So I started going back to look at the Trading with the Enemy Act, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Well, then I watched that Nuremberg with Spencer Tracy that Becky was talking about. When I seen it, it dawned on me they're bringing us in as enemies of the state. You don't have to commit a crime. All they have to do is profile you, and that makes you an enemy of the state. And when I started listening to how they were prosecuting these people, I started looking at what they're doing to us, and it runs right down the line. They're not following any rule of law. They're not following the UCC. They're not following the admiralty side. They're not following the maritime. They have no respect for the private side coming in.
They're protecting the fraud.
Yes, they're protecting the fraud.
Yeah, and one of the things that really struck me about this was understanding where the criminal side of this comes in. Because under the Constitution, if you go in and you study Article 3, then it becomes very, very clear that our Justice Department is very, very limited in what it can do. Very limited. You know, there's just a very, very careful holding in of what the judiciary is allowed to do. And there is no such thing. That criminal side has to have a jury of your... There is no jurisdiction under criminal in the Constitution. Well, if you go study and you see Title 28, then all law is civil. There is nothing but civil law. And then you look at it, the criminal statutes come in is reserved for is no criminal side in the statutes and codes. But if you go do a traffic, that's a criminal violation. If you go do child support, doing any of the foreclosures come under criminal. Where is the jurisdiction? And so this is where we started looking at all of this, and the only place that we can find any kind of criminal jurisdiction in the statutes and codes is in USC 50, the war and, what is it called, Rod?
War and National Defense.
Yeah, War and National Defense. And so as he began to lay out Chapter 23, Section 23, And we all started studying the War Powers Act and seeing how the registration and the licensing is bringing us in. A light bulb went off, and I'm saying, oh, no, you know, now we're beginning to understand more how this is doing. But until you really get in there and you understand your own laws and, you know, what's supposed to be going on, and then you look at all of the cases that we're all dealing with as we get together in our living rooms on Friday nights and as we're dealing with foreclosures, the networks that have sprung up all across the country to help each other deal with this. You know, this is a large network that's really coming to help each other as we're dealing with all of these things, because our properties are getting stolen out from under us. You know, our fathers are being put in debtor's prison, for Pete's sakes. Well, that was outlawed when the original Constitution was put together. So as we begin to realize all of the things that are going on, 1% of the cases that go to court get found in favor of the bankers or the state of or the plaintiff and our people, then we had to start looking at it and saying, okay, the statutes, you know, what jurisdiction are we operating in? And so this is some of the stuff that's really coming out as we're beginning to find that we have to hold them accountable.
But see, this also goes back into the banking regulations. If you get into Title 12, 95, 95A, 95B, you go back and read that. That brings you back up under the state of emergency clause of licensing regulations, which takes you right back over to the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917. So even the banking laws are dragging us into the Trading with the Enemy Act on all this. And this is where the connection starts coming in. Because this is one of the things that we brought up in a court case up in Cincinnati, Ohio, is that when we walked in, I tried to come in as the PAG on this for this couple up there, and the judge would not allow me. We didn't file an end of appearance. She says, yes, I did. I went back and showed her the end of appearance. Well, she crapped because she didn't realize that I actually filed one in. Well, they wasn't going to allow me, but the couple brought in Title 12, 95, 95A, 95B, showed that that loan, when it was signed under the state of emergency clause. Well, if it's signed under the state of emergency clause, that means there's no money. And this is what we tied it back into. This is what I'm sitting here saying. Once you understand that the driver's license, automobile, falls under the Trading with the Enemy Act, all loans fall under the Trading with the Enemy Act. Your children, because the property was given over to the state for collateral, falls under the Trading with the Enemy Act. There isn't anything that we can't trace back to that Trading with the Enemy Act and that Public Law 148 Stat C1 under the state of emergency. And once you learn and understand this connection and how to run it back, now we know why we're being railroaded in these courts. Now we know why the children are being snatched off of the parents. Now we know why our properties are being snatched. We have a better understanding of it now because we can run it back to the foundation of how this thing was set up under the license and registration of how they put us under to register ourselves and register everything and turn everything over to the government for it to use as collateral for its own purposes. But they were supposed to be discharging and reimbursing us at the end of the war. But the military is not getting a dime out of this. The military is being told, well, we got to cut your budget. We got to cut your budget. You can't cut their budget under a state of emergency. And that's exactly what they're doing. And nobody's bringing this up.
Incredible information. We have an opportunity. We want to bring Jennifer Williams. Jennifer, come on in.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Wonderful.
So why don't you give a quick introduction to the people on BBS Radio of who you are and how you relate to the sovereignty call.
Thanks, Andrew. I have been aware of the concept of sovereignty most of my life, and I actually am privileged to be on the call tonight because of a circumstance that happened to me a couple of weeks ago, in that I appeared in one of our municipal courts where I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and in an attempt to establish jurisdiction outside of the court itself, within my own sovereignty, I was thwarted by the corrupt alleged judge and was found in criminal contempt of court before a trial could even begin for objecting to her railroading me into her jurisdiction. And I was subsequently then jailed for 3 days with no other recourse but to accept this physical kidnapping that occurred of my body. And so I'm here tonight to try and tell my story and to make as many people aware of the level of the police state that we live in and the corruption and the information that we've been discussing tonight seems to have really congealed for most of us, even in the last 48 to 72 hours, recognizing fully the concept that we're all being tried as enemies of the state, that in fact our country has been in a state of emergency since at least 1917, and we've been in perpetual war so that we could be then considered enemies of the state and be tried for war crimes. It's absolutely absurd, and I'm doing what I can to draw attention to it, hopefully with a case as absurd as mine, more light can just be shined in all of the dark recesses of these places so that we can begin to hold the individuals that are doing this in these court situations accountable, demanding their oath and bond, demanding that they prove who they are. But it will take us learning the procedures of the courtroom and learning where these statutes have been broken and just what exactly does it mean to be an enemy of the state. And so I'm happy to be on this call tonight with everybody who can join with me and join with everyone else. You know, I went to jail for 3 days, and I was in Birmingham, Alabama jail, which ironically is the same jail that Dr. Martin Luther King was in 51 years ago for essentially the same issue. He asked, you know, he said, you know, it's a moral obligation for a person to disobey an unjust law. And I see that very clearly. I cannot sit here and continue to pay money into a corrupt system that's robbing my brothers and sisters blind, taking everything that they ever thought that they owned. And least of all is their property. Most of all is their dignity and their freedom. It's gotten to a point that if we don't start seriously moving towards creating a tribunal and beginning to seriously look at these things as a collective community, then we get what we deserve. And, you know, I really want to see everybody stand up together and do something to move this thing forward and expose the fraud. So thank you all for being here and listening.
And that's why I've taken my Galactic Historian side, the New Earth Nation Project, Rod Class, Jennifer Williams, OPP, and brought them all into one big mega call. This call isn't about spirituality. It's about us here in the now, in the I Am presence that's saying enough is enough. It's time we educate ourselves, share this knowledge and education, and come together on TalkShoe, come together on AIB Radio, come together on Galactic Historian, come together in what is the common language of working together. Right now, it's working with this administrative understanding so that an international tribunal of natural justice can begin to be formed so that whistleblowers can come forward and expose the rest of the fraud. Rod was talking earlier about his paperwork, and that first page he exposed all the fraud. Mm-hmm. Well, people need to begin digesting that first page. and digesting and understand, what if Rod had page 2, page 3, page 4? What else is he going to expose? We all know that this fraud is at the highest levels, or those that are on this call. There isn't a spot that this fraud doesn't cover in this whole world. It's a global fraud. 253 corporate nations all essentially doing the same thing with their own cultural differences or their own locality differences. But here, in the now, right, all these beings on this call, we've come together with our purpose. We've come together with our unity. We've come together with this heart space to say, it's time we share. And share at the highest levels, beyond what the reach of this radio station is. We all need to reach into our minds of SWEC equity and wonder, can I share this an extra way? Can I go and pick up a book on equity? Can I go and read Rod's documents? Can I go and watch the videos on Jennifer? You can do all of that. I would hope you do it with a smile on your face, even when the information gets tough, because you are then alchemizing the negativity of what they're projecting on you and turning it back against them, because that's what we need to do. Turn it back. What they are saying to use against us, we can use against them in the administrative. Those people that don't want to do paperwork, you can support the other people that are doing the paperwork, because it takes a tremendous amount of time, effort, energy, and spirit to stay in that. Because they're constantly trying to beat down our spirit so that we are slaves to a society that simply says, yes, 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 yes. Now we say, no, 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 no. We work together.
Well, this is it. This is one of the things that we've tried on our show, and I have run into some resistance. We don't need to know their laws. That isn't our job. That's for them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know their job description, you don't know their rules, you don't know their regulations, then you don't know what they're doing wrong and how they're doing it wrong. And that's the whole purpose of us doing it. We're not saying that their laws apply to us. We're sitting down saying it's their job description. And it's up for us to walk in and hammer them on not doing their job right, point out their errors, point out their screw-up. And it's like Dwight, that my brother, that one day, he had a county judge call the house and wanted to know where he was at. And Dwight flat out told him, he says, I was in the federal court bringing felony charges against you because your felony's a lot higher than my misdemeanor. Press this judge right off. But you know what? It's the truth of the matter is, the judge did commit a felony. And this is the whole point. It is up to us to hammer them. And the thing of it is, with us now trying to get a tribunal up, and get the international judges up on this by the us coming in and showing we try to come in peace, we try to come in on the private side of this thing, this was a very positive thing because you're trying to show, hey, here's the UCC, here's your contractual laws, this is what you're supposed to be operating. On the other hand, I'm coming in under their own statutory law and I'm shoving their own rules down their throat, their own regulations and their congressional statutes. This is what we're sitting here saying. If we had the enforcement and I had the backing, being the bounty hunter that I position that I hold, because see, I had North Carolina Insurance Company along with 12 deputies from Lincolnton County snag me. And they was trying to get me for impersonating a bail bondsman. I'm not a bail bondsman. I'm a 14th Amendment Section 4 bounty hunter. I'm a public debt collector. What that means is that we bring charges against judges, lawyers, prosecutors, police officers, anything that's under the 14th Amendment, we bring charges against them for constitutional violation, job description violation, and what we go after is the bond, is that we go after their home, their car, everything that they own, and two-thirds of that goes to pay the public debt. There's a one-third finder's fee. This is that whistleblower side. This is under that Title 31, Financing 3729 of the whistleblower, fraud. Is that we come in, if we could take them down, then two-thirds of everything they owe has to go back to the Treasury to pay off the public debt. It's a one-third finder's fee. Have I collected? No. Right now, we're still in the beginning stages of pushing this. This is one of the reasons why I was busted in D.C., because we are pushing this, and they know that if I could ever get the backing, I could ever walk into a federal court, I could walk into any state court, I could snag a judge off the bench, I could nail the prosecutor, I could nail the lawyer, we could hold them accountable, and we could strip them of everything they have, because there isn't a courtroom that I can't walk into and prove absolute corruption on their side of the fence. It isn't hard. Number one, do you have a plaintiff? Well, no. That's your first mistake. Because under your own rules, under Civil Rules 3, it says a complaint has to be filed. Under Criminal Rule 3 and 4 and 5, a complaint has to be filed. A warrant has to be issued. Was any of this done? No. What's the Constitution sit here and say under Article 4? There has to be a warrant. There has to be an oath. There has to be a complaint. Again, there isn't a courtroom that I could not walk into and snag a judge, a prosecutor, and a lawyer for civil rights violations, for violating the people's rights, and charge them for war crimes because they're disregarding the Constitution. That's how easy this thing is if we had the backing to order to go in and do it. And believe me, if I had the backing, I would definitely snag these suckers off the bench. And I would prosecute them. Because I could and I would. And that's why they're trying to stop me in D.C. This is why I am on an ankle bracelet. That ankle bracelet is to keep me out of Washington, D.C. so they could track me. This ankle bracelet also has a proximity meter, who all is around me, and a listening device, so they can pick up any conversations that's being said. Am I broadcasting? Yes. Is my ankle bracelet green? It sure is, because I charged it up before I come on the show. See, it would be green so they could hear everything. So we're not only doing this internationally, they're picking it up at the station of who has the ankle bracelet. So they're recording this whole conversation for the last 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I hope they got a good earful.
Oh, they got an earful or two. But we have been going for 4 hours here. Rebecca, do you have anything that you need to bring up here?
Well, I tell you what, I'm ready for lots of volunteers to come and help us with New Earth Nation. That's one of the most fascinating things about working with New Earth Nation. We are an all-volunteer organization, and we are reaching out. We have a network that is absolutely all across the world. Rod just was featured in a documentary. We had Rogier Bowman from Denmark. We had Amit Tita, who is a National Geographic person out of India. And then Trevor came down from New York. We're all working together from everywhere to be able to get this word out. So we can use volunteers, and you can get in touch with me at Rebecca@humanitad.org. That's H-U-M-A-N-I-T-A-D, humanitad.org. That's part of New Earth Nation. Or just go on to the New Earth Nation website and volunteer to help us. We're not just the Law Academy. We have all kinds of wonderful faculties and projects going on, everything from health and healing issues to everything imaginable. Go visit the website and be involved. All of us are working with various sides along there, so we have lots of room for volunteers. Come join us. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Rod and Jennifer.
Jennifer, do you want to give out some contact details, and Rod too?
Go ahead, Rod.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, for you new people, I run a internet radio show on TalkShoe.com. That's TalkShoe, SHOE, TalkShoe.com. My ID number is 48361. If you look up my name, Rod Kloss, on the internet, I'm all over the internet. I'm all over YouTube of what we're talking about. We are here to educate. We're here to bring the best knowledge. It is your choice whether you want to understand, not understand. But it is up to you to go back in and read it. I've had U.S. Marshals that have paid me a visit. I've had FBI that has paid me a visit. They have went back, looked at the paperwork, and come back and shook their head, says, you have validated everything that you have said. You can prove everything you're saying. This creates a problem on their side of the fence. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is the whole point. Talk is cheap. When you can back it with black ink on white paper, especially congressional documentation, it's hard for them to beat. And what we have coming up here in July 25th, 26th, and 27th, here in about 2 weeks, we've got a judicial reform seminar that it is $200 a body to come in. That is in an RV park. You need to call in. I give you the number. It's at Cross Country Campground. It's in Denver, North Carolina. The number is 1-800-852-4840. That's 1-800-852-4840. We're here to educate. We're here to give you knowledge. We're here to be able to show what they're doing, how they're doing it. Don't believe anything that we're telling you. Read it for yourself in the congressional records. And once you see it and you understand it, your whole attitude is going to change of how they're dragging us in and what they're doing to us. This is what AIB Radio is all about on TalkShoe. Thank you.
Yeah, and don't forget, Rod, anybody who wants to be on the big list, it's Rod, R-O-D, slash class, C-L-A-S-S, slash subscribe at rayservers.com. Give that out for Harvey. He usually does that.
Okay, Rod, can Rebecca hear me?
Yeah, good. Say that again.
All right, she gave it wrong when she says slash. It's supposed to be dash, so
yeah.
Wrong.
Okay.
Dash class dash subscribe at Ray Servers. You know how to spell it? RAYSERVERS.com.
Okay.
So I don't think Rebecca can hear me. I don't think I can hear me on the link. But you may have to repeat that for
yes.
Rebecca.
Yes, I got it. And I said dash. Thank you, Harvey. I didn't say it clear enough. Okay, we'll make sure it gets posted, too. Thanks.
What do you want to hear? Let me do it one more time. The big list goes out to about 2,000 people. Now, of course, it'll be more. Rod, R-O-D, dash, class, C-L-A-S-S, dash, subscribe, S-U-B-S-C-R-I-B-E, at Ray Servers, like a guy's name, RAYSERVERS.com. And just send an email to that. They'll send an email back to you to subscribe. Boom, you'll be on the big list. Next time the big list goes out, you'll get one.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks, Harvey.
Oh, you're welcome.
What that does, ladies and gentlemen, that keeps you updated when we're having calls. Like we're having here tonight, this was going to be a four-hour call. Harvey, let you know when I do private calls, any documents that I put out gets put out on the big list. There is no charge for any of our documents. I give my documents out free. And the reason why is this. Like I've explained to my people, you cannot afford to buy my paperwork. You don't have what it takes. The paperwork was bought by the guys laying in Arlington Cemetery. Those white crosses paid for your paperwork. The veterans in this country has paid for your paperwork. This is the price of my paperwork. It's already been bought and paid for. So we give this stuff out. Now, the only thing that we ask, you know, any donations that you want to give us, the donation comes into P.O. Box 435 High Shoals, S-H-O-A-L-S, High Shoals, North Carolina, 28077. The donations help pay for the paperwork, the filing that we're filing into the DC, into the administrative cases. It pays for the ink, it pays for the paper, it pays for any repairs that need to be done, any hacking, it pays for the trips back and forth to DC. This is what your donations are for. But we hand you out the paperwork, and anybody that wants a external hard drive information, you get the hard drive, you send it to me prepaid, I'll send it back to you. You're going to get about 350 gigs of information of all my research that we have collected off of all of the people that has given me information for us to put this thing together. You're getting close to about $60,000 to $70,000 worth of information for a donation, for the information. You know, and like I said, when you send me an external hard drive, make it prepaid to and from. I don't pay for hard drives sending it out to people. I can't afford it. So this is how this thing works. Like I said, AIB Radio is here for education. We're here for knowledge. Download the archives. Get into it. Listen to what we've talked about. Get down on the big list. Harvey sends out all this information. The latest document we just sent out is that they failed to disclose the corporate status that went out today, and Harvey's going to get it posted so that people will have it. But it exposes the about five or six court cases that I have done and prove that we have a corporation and nobody works for the state, that everybody's private. I've got the case sites of what I've gotten from the administrative court for my ruling. So we're proven we don't have a government. And I'm one of the very few people that has ever pulled this off and can back it up with documentation that we don't have a government. And we don't even have public employees. They're all private. And that's what they're coming back with. And that's our argument. This is what this whole 4 hours has been about, is we're not dealing with a government. We're dealing with a hostile takeover on the American people. And that's something we better wake up to and understand, the Trading with the Enemy Act of this thing, of how they're dragging us in. That's the significance of this. That's the
global fraud.
Go ahead.
Global fraud.
Yep. It's not just
Jennifer. Jennifer, you want to give out your contact details too?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you. I'm not muted, am I? Or am I? I'm good. Okay.
You are live.
I would just like everyone to know that the 3 days that I did spend in jail was one step towards what was considered a continuance of the trial, which is continued until August the 28th. So as of right now, my plan is to appear again. And so any support that anyone can give me in terms of just reaching out to me, trying to hear more of my story, I'm in the process of writing up an explanation of what happened to me and so on and so forth, then I would greatly appreciate it. I can be reached via email at email account called jenspayer, JENSPAYER, at gmail.com. That's the best way to reach me. And I'll do the best I can to answer any questions and share information with anybody else who might be in the similar position to me, so that we can begin to hold the individuals accountable who are before us.
Very, very good. And you can also visit newearthnation.org to get more information on the Law and Sovereignty Doctrines about the Ubuntu movement. And if you'd also like to visit my website, Andrew Bartzis, galactichistorian.com. And there you can find a whole bunch of information. Just announced to everyone, we will be doing this Friday Sovereignty Call. We have quite a few people lined up over the next couple Fridays, so pay attention to your inbox. I will again be on BBS Radio tomorrow at 9 p.m. Pacific, where I'll be continuing the Galactic Historian call-in shows. I want to thank everyone that has been on this call, Doug at BBS Radio, everyone at TalkShoe, AIB, everyone that has been a part of this New Earth Nation, all the volunteers that have gummed in together from the background, everyone in Facebook and social media and Lawland and Universal Spirit Land. This has been another Sovereign Call, and we thank everyone for being here. All right, guys, take it away.
Thank you.
Thanks. Till next time.
Yes, good night. Thank you all.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Great show.
Lovely show, everybody.
I'm going to go back over to my AIB and get ready to shut it down. Thanks.